Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and it is Opening Day week. We are headed to Toronto, Canada. I got the passport out. No Maryland Crab Cake tour this week. But we had like one that was twice as good last week at Pizza John's that will be holding up all week. We will be at Fadley's next Wednesday. That is, let's see, game six, game two at home. Hopefully, there's no rain. I know there'll be no rain in Toronto inside the Sky Dome. Luke has his mittens packed. I'm taking my scarf. I am looking for Geddy Lee. I will not be looking for Gunnar Henderson, but however, might see Kyle Gibson there when we get there on Thursday, Luke. We talked a lot of baseball on Friday with Dave Shinen of the Washington Post, and you'll hear all that and see it all platformed here at Baltimore Positive. And as we get up on the witching hour of the one plane going to Norfolk and one plane going to Toronto, might be a different plane by the time we get there Thursday than it is on Monday morning, Luke.
Yeah, I mean, the Kyle Gibson signing, as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, it's really more of the same for the Orioles. You look at what they've invested for the 2025 season. You're talking $28 million for Charlie Morton and Tomoyuki Sugano, and now an extra $5 million for Kyle Gibson, who is not going to be ready to pitch. It's going to be a while. He's thrown some bullpens. I don't think it's quite the same as the first day of spring training for him, but he's going to take a little while here. In fact, the Orioles over the weekend confirmed Cade Povich is going to be the number five starter, and looks like he's going to get the ball for the home opener. But Kyle Gibson, clearly someone they know, clearly someone who's been durable. While I always provide the caveat that pitchers are durable until they aren't anymore, but he has been durable, and it's a known commodity. It's someone who was very well liked in their clubhouse a couple years ago, to a man. Lots of those young guys talked about Kyle Gibson, even though you look at his numbers. I mean, he won 15 games, but didn't have a sparkling ERA or anything like that. We know what he is. I mean, he's another number four, number five starter, in a rotation of number four, number five starters, as I coined it at BaltimorePositive.com. I think I'm going to call this a bottom-heavy starting rotation. I think that's what it is at this point in time. You have Zach Eflin, who is probably a number three starter for plenty of contenders, and then you have a bunch of four and fives. Now, doesn't mean those four and fives can't get the job done well enough with an offense that has the kind of ceiling that the Orioles do. And obviously, we've talked a lot about the bullpen. We'll continue to talk about the bullpen, but it's where they are right now. And like it or not, this is where they are starting the season, and we'll see how it evolves over the course of the summer. But for Kyle Gibson, $5 million, I mean, it's not a lucrative investment. It's
Why
not
was
their
he available? That's the first thing I'm wondering. I mean,
because he's
just the
37 and he's a league average starter. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's he acknowledged. I mean, it's something. I mean, he pitched in St. Louis last year. I mean, it's home for him. He acknowledged that he contemplated retirement a little bit this offseason, especially when the phone's not calling. I mean, guys like this are, they're no one's first choice typically at this point. He wasn't the Orioles' first choice. I mean, they'd much rather have Grayson Rodriguez healthy and Trevor Rogers at least available as an option
that's
and
a
Chase.
damning thing. No one's first choice, right? You know what I mean? That's why it was like the availability of some of these guys who are veteran guys that if they are going to help you, having them in spring training helps a lot. Just having them hanging around, I think, a little bit. Like that's part of the value of the whatever you think you're getting out of that guy. And you know, I was born into this with Rick Sutcliffe, right, in '92, and then through all of the eras, how many of these kinds of guys you want to bring in, but also a guy who wants to win at the end and wants to pick a place where we talked about Calais Campbell last week on the football side. You just want to like be somewhere where you're showing up in hotels and stuff this far in with $100 million in the bank, with a reason to wake up in Milwaukee in July with your arm hurting, unless you're going to win. And Kyle Gibson to me is, you know, I'll take him as a pile diver. I mean, look, far be it from me to anybody listening to you and Shine and all down on the team that I actually can find the ray of orange sunshine in signing 37 years. But I am a little like, They're bottom fishing. I mean, I don't think
Yeah.
you know. I mean, I don't know what else to say. The only way to top fish is to pay guys $200 million in this sport.
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, of course, those are the sexy moves. Those are the flashy moves. That's the move that everyone, or not everyone, but at least a large portion of the fan base and baseball media wanted them to do. I've told you my reservations going back to even last June about re-signing Corbin Burns at the rate that I thought it was going to require, or anyone else. You know, there's certainly a lot of risk there. As we pointed out, as we talked about it at Pizza John's late last week, the idea of investing that kind of money, knowing that all these pitchers break at some point. So I think what's become evident here, and look, I am not saying that this is optimal. I'm not saying this is the way I would do it, but I think it's pretty apparent where the Orioles are, and I will continue to point out the, you know, kind of wishy-washy approach at developing pitching when they haven't really drafted a lot of pitchers early. But I think what we're seeing is the Orioles clearly have a type here. Now, Corbin Burns has been the exception, but even that was a one-year commitment, right? That was not trading premier top 15 prospects in baseball. You know, Joey Ortiz was a fringe top 100 guy. DL Hall at one point was considered more than that, but I think the Orioles, I think they kind of told you what they thought about DL Hall, and the Milwaukee Brewers have found out the same thing. He can't stay healthy. So that was, you know, kind of the exception here. But even with that, that was a trade for a 1 year commitment. And then you see what happens after that. They were in on Burns, but we know Burns clearly prioritized playing on the West Coast, and the Orioles didn't offer enough to make him change his mind on that front. So it's water under the bridge at this point. He's not coming back. But everyone else, start with Jordan Lyles, Kyle Gibson 2 years ago. You know, go down the list of what they did this year in signing a 35-year-old Tomoyuki Sugano, who's has carries a different kind of intrigue, and we're going to see what that looks like ultimately. Charlie Morton's 41 years old, and now they bring back Kyle Gibson at age 37. So I think what we're seeing here is one, there's very much a risk-averse approach, but I think when you also look at the fact that these are all guys who have been innings eaters, these are guys that, for the most part, with some exceptions here and there, have been pretty durable, at least for large stretches of their career. I feel like Mike Elias is trying his best here without spending lucrative long-term money and making that kind of a commitment to build a rotation that survives. Now, in the process of trying to survive, you need to make sure you have enough to be able to thrive, right? I mean, you don't want it's great to have guys that are going to make 30 starts, but if they all have sub five ERAs, you know,
It's
that's
gonna be a
not
lot
really
of
what.
8 to 6 games in the seventh inning,
Well,
man.
I mean, there very well could be, right? And but I can understand where they're coming from here, because you do look at the state of baseball, and look, the fact that they signed Kyle Gibson, is that maybe an indicator that they don't have confidence in Grayson Rodriguez coming back much sooner rather than later? I mean, maybe you could. I think it's fair to at least wonder that at this point in time, as he's just starting to play catch here over the last several days. We know he's not going to be back. You know, it's not like he's going to be back for the first homestand. You know, I'd be surprised if we'd see him. You know, to me, the best case scenario would maybe be the very end of April. You know, when you kind of look at how a spring training progression looks, and the fact that he's essentially starting over. So, you know, the fact that they signed Gibson, who himself wasn't going to be ready to be part of the rotation right away, maybe that's a tell that to say that they're not counting on Grayson Rodriguez. I mean, who knows? Again, I don't want to speculate too much to make it sound like the guy's done, but you know, it's elbow inflammation. It's a triceps issue. I mean, these aren't things that, you know, you tweak your hamstring and, you know, 2 weeks later, you're going to be fine. These are things that have very much an unknown to it. So you bring in Gibson, you know, I mean, you're hoping best case scenario. I mean, think about it. For the Orioles 2 years ago, he did make 33 starts. He had a 4.73 ERA. He won 15 games. Why? Because he gave them enough innings to be a functional, dependable starter. And they scored a lot of runs for
Yeah, I
him.
was gonna say, hit the
And
cover off the ball
yeah,
2 years ago, man.
exactly. And
He
look,
picked a
let's.
good year to have a to be a number four starter for the Orioles, right?
Yeah,
Like,
he was
literally.
fine. I mean, he was fine that year. You know, and some of his peripherals actually indicate he pitched a little bit better than that. So I had no issues with Kyle Gibson 2 years ago. It's not that I have a major issue with it now, but I just see a they're signing the same pitcher, right? I mean, it's, Sagano was one. Okay. 35, coming from Japan. There's a certain amount of unknown, some intrigue that, hey, maybe he can kind of you catch lightning in a bottle and he takes the league by storm and he makes enough adjustments that he outperforms what, the fact that he throws 92 miles per hour and, he does have five or six pitches. So I was fine with Sagano signing, but then when you sign Charlie Morton, who, loved the guy for a long time, a guy that's been a all-star fringe kind of guy that at his best drew some Cy Young votes here and there, but he's 41 years old.
I love Jim
So,
Palmer. I don't want to see him pitch this year.
right. And obviously you say that
I
being
love Ben
facetious, but
McDonald.
yeah. So I just look at it. And again, it's like I said, each of these guys in isolation, it's not like I think they stink or anything like that, but you just kind of look at it collectively and you say, okay, I see they're going for durability. They're clearly minimizing their long-term commitment here. They're maintaining payroll and financial flexibility, which, as you and I have talked about, Mike Elias likes that anyway, let alone considering what the organization, the transition they're in with TV and ballpark renovations and all that. So there's a compelling argument for that. At the same time, you have this young core of players, and you've been in the playoffs back-to-back years, and you look at this rotation right now, and you say, all right, in terms of navigating a season, fine. I'll check off on that. In terms of thriving and the pitching being good enough, and we'll get to Gunnar Henderson in a moment, knowing he's not going to be ready for the start of the start of the season. But all of that goes into it, I feel like you're just, once again, you're putting a lot on the shoulders of your young position talent, which, let's face it, and we said this last year at the trade deadline. We said this all last year. We said this 2 years ago. Ultimately, if the Orioles are going to break through and not just make the playoffs, but make a run, their young stars need to be young stars. They weren't against Kansas City, and that's why they got swept, even though they only gave up, what, three runs in 2 games. I mean, it wasn't the pitching. So it continues to default back to putting everything on the shoulders of these young guys. And look, I love their young core of position players. And I do expect them to score a lot of runs and hit the ball. That said, the last thing you want to be doing, especially early in the season when you really want to be making some hay and not being in a position where you've dug yourself a hole or anything like that, where, you don't want to be scoring a bunch of runs and having starters not able to get into the fifth or sixth inning. And then on the flip side of that, having guys in the bullpen not being able to protect a two or three run lead in the late innings. And when you look at what this pitching staff looks like on paper, kind of what it looked like at the beginning, but especially now with no Grayson Rodriguez and his upside, no Andrew Kittredge, and even though Brandon Hyde said Sunday that yes, Felix Bautista is going to be on the opening day roster, there's at least been enough expressed concern there to wonder what you're going to get. Doesn't mean he won't pitch, doesn't mean he's not healthy, but how effective is he going to be? And then Sir Anthony Dominguez and the unknown of some of the other guys in there. Just
Dude, what do you feel good about?
the position
I mean, maybe
talent.
the,
I
I, you know, I
the
don't know.
position talent. I mean, I love the position talent. I mean, even, Gunnar, he's going to be on the IL. He's going to miss a week. He's going to miss 10 days. Maybe he misses 2 weeks tops, right? I mean, we're not talking, and it's not as though it's a one-man offense, right? I love the position talent. And don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting here saying that they're going to have the worst rotation in baseball. I'm not sitting here saying that they're going to be 30th in bullpen ERA, but expectations have changed around here, right? I mean, they've been to the playoffs twice, 2 years in a row. I mean, well, think about it. Nestor, off the top of your head, when was the last time the Orioles made the postseason 3 straight years?
71. 71.
I mean, 69, 70,
I just had to
71.
do it.
Yeah.
73,
No,
74, 79, 83, 80, 96, 97. I'm 14, 15. I'm doing it. Okay, go
And
ahead.
of course, obviously you have three
Don't
wild
ask me
cards.
trick questions opening day
No,
week. I'm thinking of Geddy Lee right now. I'm
but
trying to
my
navigate my passport. You're
but the
confused.
point I'm making here is that the bar has been raised Yet you look at where the state of their pitching staff right now, and look, Michael Elias couldn't foresee everything that's happened since the start of spring training, but again, this goes back to, did you do enough? Do you have
Can I
enough
defend
upside
him
here?
and even say, did he do enough? Like, you didn't like what he did last year, but like Means, Bradish. I mean, the injuries that they've
It was,
sustained at the top of the rotation,
yeah.
hey, you don't just go out and replace Cy
Of
Young
course.
candidates. And he did it last year with Corbin Burns,
Of course.
and they gave away prospects and or a prospect in that case. I like they went all in last year on a one, couldn't sign him, and now the wheels are coming off the car because the young Jim Palmer's Storm Davis right now. You know what I mean? I don't, you know,
Right.
I don't, I can use any of the vernacular you want. Rocky Coppinger, I don't know. The guy that has got to get there, he's got to be the horse, and they can't get him to the hill on opening day. So you're already atrophying starts. I mean,
Yeah.
what are you going to get at him? 24 starts? 20 starts? I don't know. I mean, it's thinking about Bradish last year and babying Tyler Wells. And dude, in a perfect world, Means, Bradish, Wells are at the top of their rotation. Rodriguez is trying to break in as a three. They never have Eflin. You know, they've had to
Yeah.
deal and deal and spend money and spend more money on Japanese guys and Charlie Morton and now Kyle Gibson because their guys' arms are falling off.
Yeah. Look, and to be clear, when I was critical last year, it was much more on the bullpen side. Their rotation, I mean, my goodness, you acquired Corbin Burns, right? And the one thing that I said at that point in time, as we kind of learned what the timeline was for Bradish, I did wonder if there was a thought or an expectation or a very strong possibility that they knew that Bradish, I mean, they knew his UCL was damaged in late January, early February. That was right around when they acquired Corbin Burns, I believe, on February 1st. That was the only point I made at that point. I had no issues with their rotation, or what he did with their rotation last year. For me, it was much more, there was a 5-year track record of Craig Kimbrell not being very reliable and being very up and down, and I thought they didn't do enough with their bullpen. That's what it was more so.
They liked him more than you did.
They did, sure. And look, that, hey, the Phillies paid Craig Kimbrell the year before that, right? So it's not as though, I mean, you're talking about a guy who probably is going to be in the Hall of Fame at some point in time. So anyway, bringing it back to the present, this isn't me saying that Mike Elias is terrible at his job. This isn't me saying that, that there aren't some challenges here. There are. But at the same time, I just look at this right now, and it just feels like they're already talking about counting on a lot of ifs and maybes, and they haven't even thrown a pitch yet. I mean, the season hasn't even started yet. So, again, maybe this approach of investing depth, investing in depth, and you have a bottom heavy rotation, maybe it works out. And as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, let's call a spade. The Orioles team that won 101 games 2 years ago, it's not as though they resembled the 1971 Orioles. That Orioles team in 2014, it's not as though they had bona fide ace, bona fide number two, number, right? I mean, Chris Tillman was the ace of that team. Chris Tillman was what Zach Eflin is a decade later, right? I mean, Chris Tillman at his best, let's say, before the shoulder issues and everything. So, I just look at it, and yeah, I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't have some concern. I'd be lying to you if I said I was as optimistic now as I was on February 5th. That said, I'm not sitting here saying that the season's doomed. And if I were being paid to cover the New York Yankees right now, I'd be talking about their rotation issues, and injuries they've had and some of the health concerns. The difference is, however, they're dealing, or they're very much counting on a bunch of old guys to hold on and to try to hold on to their diminishing skills and to stay healthy and bounce back in some cases. Whereas with the Orioles position talent, yeah, there's always going to be some unknown. And that's not to say that development's perfectly linear and you're always going to be ascending. But boy, I still feel like there's a lot of meat on the bone in terms of this young position group to get better. And if they take the steps forward, assuming Gunnar comes back, and by April 15th, he's in the lineup and he's fine and there's no lingering effects, and Adley Rutschman looks like the Adley Rutschman we saw from the first 2 calendar years of him in the big leagues, which he's had a really good spring. And you go down the list, and Colton Cowser takes the next step. Jordan Westberg takes the next step. And we see about Jackson Holliday, who's had a really nice spring. We see about Heston Kerstad. I just rattled off 6, 7 names there, and that's not even counting Cedric Mullins. That's not even counting Mountcastle. That's not even counting Ryan O'Hearn, right? I mean, there's a lot of Tyler O'Neill, who was their big offseason signing. So there's still a lot to like on the position side. Not that it's perfect, but there's a lot to like. So my concern is, boy, you're really counting a whole lot on that. And I just feel like that's, does it have to be this way? That's my question. Or, could you have a better pitching staff? And look, I mean, some of this is also, especially with Batista, and you and I talked about this at length, so I don't want to rehash it too much because we talked about it at length when we were out at Pizza John's. But he's 17 months removed from Tommy John surgery. There's the John Means thing, and how that played out.
Batista's going to eat up all of an inning every 3 days at this point. Like, I'm worried about their innings, and that's what I'm worried about with all of these chunky starters who are 100 years old getting into trouble in the fourth inning. Because none of them are ever getting to the sixth. They're going to be in trouble by the second or the third. There's no-hit stuff. There's going to be wood on the ball. I mean, like, I saw Gip. You know what I mean? Like, a 5 ERA is a 5 ERA is a 5 ERA. And guys that are going to give you 120 to 140 innings, no matter what you pay them. And Sugano might be different. You might get more out of him. You know what I mean? There might be more on that. But Morton is, Morton and Gibson, to me, I look at those guys and say, you're going to try to win a pennant with those guys? I mean, really?
Well,
When your
and for
bullpen sucks and is thin?
well, it comes down to this. If they're going to give you a 5 ERA, then yeah, it's probably not going to go very well. If they can give you a 4.2 ERA, which Kyle Gibson gave you a
That's
4.2,
subtle. That's a subtle difference.
but
That's defense. That's a walk. That's, right? It's a little bit everything,
no
right?
doubt, that's being able to command your pitches. I mean, that's one other thing when you look at Zach Eflin, Sagano. Go look at their career walk rates. I mean, Eflin in the major league, Sagano, albeit in Japan, but for a long, long time, he's been a command guy. So I'll say this: they certainly are operating from a smaller margin for error, and that's not even acknowledging. That's before you even acknowledge the left field being moved back in
They're
at Camden
inviting the
Yards.
other team to swing the bats. They
So,
really are.
sure. I mean, look,
And they've moved the fence in
this
and
may
like
work
all of
out
that.
perfect. This may
Yeah.
work out fine. This can work out fine, but let's,
The
at the
only way
very
this is
least.
going to work out fine is if they deal for something really good in July. And that's where I'll kiss their asses to get my press pass back,
Well,
because
they better
apparently
be in
that's what I need to
position.
do.
If they're
So,
two games, if they're two games under, go ahead. Sorry.
but no, but to there's they're not going to be 12 games up at the All-Star break with this team, not with this pitching. I mean, some really miracle stuff. Charlie Morton would have to find the fountain of 10 years ago, and like some really crazy stuff would have to happen. Povich would have to step up and be Wei-Yin Chen. Like, there a lot would have to happen for them to be really good, including hit the ball. They can hit the cover off the ball unless you're scoring 13 runs a night. This pitching. Dude, I've been around the block longer than you've been around the block, and you're smarter than me, but I know a lot, and I'm looking at this pitching, and you're trying to make points where bottom heavy and a bunch of fours and fives who are already 100 years old, who on their best day are going to get you to the fifth inning. And then somebody's going to have to pitch the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth, like no
But that's all of
Kittredge.
baseball, though. I mean,
Okay.
whether it's dominant or whether it's just okay, I mean, that's baseball now.
But when your
But
top of your rotation's the bottom of your rotation and your bullpen's quad A and Brian Baker's your option, and like, I don't know. I mean, it might be fun. I mean, it's not going to not be interesting. I mean, they have like a big red machine when it comes to the offense. It really
yeah,
do. I mean, like they have an offense that could be historically crazy 23 to 26, like the Cubs were 10 years ago, where just everybody. And they got better guys than Schwarber and Rizzo and some of them. To me, they got better prospects. I mean, Jackson Holliday's going to the Hall of Fame. So is Henderson. You're thinking Westberg might be a contract guy now? Like Rutschman, we all still want to believe he's Rutschman, even though he didn't look that way for 4 months. If it all comes together, Maybe they'll win a bunch of games 10-6 and 11-5, and but I mean they're not going to win 3-2. I mean they're just not. I mean they're not going to beat. How many nights in April are they going to give up less than 4 or 5 runs with this pitching right here, right now, right here, right now? Cold weather, the
Well,
whole
I
deal.
mean, I and again, let's pump the brakes a little bit. This conversation is not suggesting they're going to have the worst in baseball, right? I mean, I don't think it's that,
Well, they have depth. They have guys that have done it.
but
They
it
have
comes
guys
to
I've heard
this.
of.
If their offense perform, and this, I think this is where Mike Elias and Sig Meidel, if we're looking behind closed doors, they're not necessarily going to say this, right? They're not going to say this when they're asked on the record. But
Well,
when
they
you
know
look
it's
at,
not top shelf right now.
sure,
They're
of course. I
okay,
mean, they're not idiots, you
right.
know. I mean, even the biggest critic, they know, right? I mean, they know whether it's they think spending the money on long-term deals is just a plain bad investment, or whether they're cheap, or whether ownership
Yeah,
is
they're
telling
not
them.
trying to talk themselves into Kyle Gibson being better than he is.
I mean,
Or Cade Povich.
I'm guessing if Grayson Rodriguez were healthy right now, I'm guessing Kyle Gibson would still be sitting at home, right? I mean, or he'd be signing with someone else right now.
By the way, there's $5.5 million that Mr. Rubenstein has invested in your baseball experience this year there. So I started adding this up. Last week you wanted him to spend 7 or 8 on Roberts. I mean, like,
Well, and that's
it's
my
gonna
thing. I
start
would
to add
expect,
up. It's gonna start to add up.
and that's where, you know, kind of one of the points that I would make would be, to me, I felt like the bullpen was a bigger need right now than adding another depth starter because, you know, I mean, right now,
Gibson might be coming in the fourth inning every third day to pitch, you know, throw
well, and we're
60
gonna, and,
pitches.
well, and here's the thing, Cade Povich is going to be the number five starter. Cade Povich, I'm not saying he has ace upside. Let's be very clear. Not saying that whatsoever. But he's young. He had a good spring. He had a really good September. This is a guy that, you know, when you kind of hear the term pitchability, right? He doesn't blow you away with a 98 mile per hour fastball. Whether that gives him an edge in hopefully staying healthy compared to guys that do throw 98, who knows, right? I mean, again, maybe there's something here the Orioles are trying to do in terms of trying to just value durability more so than upside. But you know, I think in a best case scenario, Cade Povich pitches well enough, and there are other four guys that were projected to be in the rotation pitch well enough that Kyle Gibson's ready by April 15th. Maybe he has to slide in as the long man in the bullpen, right? I mean, maybe that's how this plays out, or someone else will be hurt, or someone's getting knocked around, whatever. But to go back to what I was saying about Elias and Sig, here's the truth. And you can even go back, look at the 1996 Orioles. Go look at the issues they had pitching. You know, I mean, Mike Mussina and league adjusted numbers. I mean, it was a way different run scoring environment in 1996 than it is in 2015 or 2025. But the point is, their pitching staff and their rotation was not good that year. Their bullpen, I mean, they had Randy Myers at the back end, but they had some other guys kind of sliding in and out. And finally, they got to a point. You know, late in the year when there was a little more stability and they made the run. But they had nine guys in the lineup by come September who had all hit 20 home runs. So my point is, this pitching staff, if it can be middle of the pack, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood, we talked about this with the Ravens last fall, with their pass defense, the issues that their pass defense had. We said if their pass defense can shore things up enough to be middle of the pack or better, then you've got a Super Bowl contender on your hands. And lo and behold, they were able to do that. And okay, they lost in Buffalo, but it wasn't because of their pass defense. You know, their pass defense the last 6, 7 weeks of the season went from a major weakness to something that actually profiled as, you know, kind of a strength even. So point is, with the pitching, it doesn't need to be the 1971 Orioles. They don't need their bullpen to even necessarily be what it was in 2014 when you had Zach Britton and Andrew Miller coming over and Darren O'Day at his best and Brad Brock and Kevin Gausman coming out of, you know, from going from the rotation into the bullpen. But rotation wise, middle of the pack, you know, maybe you could endure it being a little worse than that. Bullpen, that's, you know, that's where, again, I have a little more, at least early season concern. You know, if Batista by May is really trending in the right direction in terms of looking like something close to what he was 2 years ago, And Sir Anthony Dominguez is at his best, let's say. And Cano's doing what Cano has done the last 2 years. And Gregory Soto, who I've said to you is a wild card to me, if he can look kind of be what he was in Detroit a few years. I mean, it's not like he's 39, he's 30 years old. And kind of go down the list. You have enough of those guys, and then Kittredge comes back in mid-June, late June, something like that. Then you might feel a lot differently about the bullpen. I mean, a month ago, I liked their bullpen, but there's just been, with Kittredge and Batista's spring kind of being rocky, it's enough to make you a little more nervous. So, the path here does not need to be a number, a top five starting rotation in baseball and a top three bullpen for this team to one, get into October and then two, make a run, but it has to be good enough. But again, that all of that is contingent on their offense being as advertised. And even with their offense struggling more so in the second half than it did in the first half, go look at their numbers. They still finished very highly overall in 2024. It's not like this is a bottom 10 offense, even with some of their issues in the second half of the season. So, their path is going to be the offense leading the way. And the question is going to be, can their rotation be functional enough, give them enough length, be competitive enough, get them to the fifth or sixth inning most nights? And then is your bullpen going to be able to protect the lead? So, when I say that, this isn't me saying I think that this is going to be a 70-win team. I'm still optimistic. I'm still quite optimistic compared to most of my years covering the Orioles over the last 15, 16 years. But, I
Bad
definitely.
pitching also taxes defense, right? And they
Sure.
played defense differently when things got chunky last year for them. You know, into June and July, like defense is going to be a big part of these five tool players. You know what I mean? Like
Sure.
Jackson Holliday is supposed to be really good with the glove too, and that was part of, well, he's hitting 210, but he's going to turn double play. He's going to do those things. So they just have so much. They've never been more loaded with talent. I had Doug
Sure.
DeSensei on this week, and we were talking about Baylor, Gritch, Coggins, Bunbury, you know, what he came up into. And he was a very good Major League Baseball player, played 15 years, made a lot of money, but he was not Brooks Robinson. But, you know, I mean, I think about that era and this era, how stacked they are. And honestly, I'll say this out loud to beat him up. This will cost me my press pass. It's kind of a shame that they don't have better pitching. You know what I mean?
Sure,
Like,
I
I look,
agree.
it's a shame.
I agree.
It's a shame. And I think that's how I feel and you feel and Dave Shinen felt on Friday. Sort of like, you could have done more with the pitching, especially if you're going to spend what you're going to spend and where you are, because, like, it's not good enough. They're not going to win a World Series with this. I mean, they're not. They're going to have to do more. Can they do more? Yes. Do they have the talent at the minor league level to make deals? Yes. Do they have the money? Appears to be so. So far, so good.
Sure,
Right?
and that's not to say you aren't going to have a couple surprises along the way. Look, 3 years or 2 years ago at this time, no one was thinking Kyle Bradish was going to finish, what did he finish, fourth in Cy Young voting in 2023? No one thought that at that point in time. Kyle Bradish was maybe, and he had had a good second half, good finish to 2022 with the Orioles. So he was more highly regarded than Cade Povich at this point in time. But my point is, he was much more considered a number three, four, or five 2 years ago. And then we saw what he became over the course of 2024. So using that same exact, application, can Cade Povich take the kind of step and maybe by July or August, you view him as maybe not an ace, not a number two, but maybe he looks like a really legit number three, right? I mean, it's not impossible. I'm not betting on it necessarily, but that's why I like at least having him in the rotation to kind of see what that looks like, right? I mean, these older back end starters, you know what you're going to get, at least at best, right? I mean, I don't think Charlie Morton's going to suddenly look like he did with the Astros in 2017. I'd be great if he did, but I'm not expecting that. Kyle Gibson is Kyle Gibson at this point. Sagano, there's some intrigue there, right? Eflin, My goodness, you pray he stays healthy. I mean, keep in mind he was on the shelf for a couple weeks, even for the Orioles last summer. I mean, briefly. But I think when you talk about a Cade Povich, when you talk about, certainly Felix Bautista coming back, not talking about him pitching back-to-back days or multiple innings, but starting to look like himself again by May, and you trend get that trending. And I think if he does, guess what? Everyone else in the bullpen can then kind of settle into what would be their most appropriate role. And you're not feeling like, oh my gosh, do we have to put Dominguez out there for the ninth inning or Cano out there for the ninth inning? No, you can put them in the seventh or eighth inning where they're better equipped to be there. So, it's not as though there isn't a path for this to all be good enough on the pitching side. It feels like they're unnecessarily operating from a smaller margin of error. And in turn, that's putting a lot on your young position talent. But hey, the whole plan, when Michael Elias arrived, from the moment he took Adley Rutschman with 1-1 in 2019 in that draft, going on, almost 6 years ago at this point in time, they've signaled that they were going to be a team that prioritized development of hitters. And for the most part, Jackson Holliday aside, college hitters. So they should be counting on that. That should be their biggest strength. So it really comes down to, are they going to do it? Do I wish they had a little more backup in terms of, pitching and a little more of a safety net in that regard? Yeah, sure. They had that last year with Corbin Burns, and they came up short. So, I mean, I don't say this to say that I think they're doomed. Far from it. But at the same time, it's like you just said, you see this potential juggernaut when you look at just the position talent. If you just covered up the pitching with a piece of paper and you just looked at the position player talent, and you'd say, all right, it's young, but my gosh, you've got rookie of the years, you've got all young all-stars. You've got an MVP candidate in Gunnar Henderson. Adley Rutschman's been a fringe MVP candidate at his best. Jackson Holliday, the best prospect in baseball, less than a year removed from that. I mean, man, that sign me up for that. That's where you look at the pitching and say, really? That's all you've got on the pitching side? And that's where the disappointment comes from, right? I mean, I think it's important to separate the underwhelming nature of the offseason as it pertained to the pitching for me. But also still having excitement and optimism about this young group of position talent. Now, they need Tyler O'Neill to stay healthy, right? They need guys to be themselves in terms of what we saw last year, and in Jackson Holliday's case, take the next step. Which, I was actually watching Orioles Braves on Sunday. It was on MLB Network. It was the Braves broadcast, and all they were doing was talking about, man, that Jackson Holliday kid. We talked to people all around baseball. They're all convinced he's going to be really, really good. Whether that's an all-star this year or at some point in the near future, that's what they still think about this kid. Well, he's got to go do it, right? In the same way that Adley did, in the same way that Gunnar Henderson did, and Westberg and Cowser last year. It's if you ask me right now, like my prediction on the Orioles, like win-loss, to go on the record. I still think, even with some of the questions with the pitching, I still think it's a team that, to me, looks like a team that can win 90 games. And, I think the Yankees are very similar. I'll give the Yankees the nod because, one, they're the defending AL champs, and they certainly have more financial wherewithal to go out and make a big move
The
potentially.
Orioles are 87.5 or 88 in most
I
casinos
mean,
as we sit here.
I think I'd take a slight over on that still. And that's, believe me, you've heard how critical I am about their pitching. So that tells you how much I think about their offense right now. But I think the Yankees are right there. Toronto, I think,
Yankees, by the way, are 88 to 89.5, depending on, where you're betting.
depending on your projection system, some like the Yankees more, and some, even with everything that's happened to this point, some still like the Orioles over
By the
the
way, only
Yankees.
five better choices in all of baseball.
Right.
Dodgers, Braves, Phillies at 90.5, pretty consistently. Braves at 93. Dodgers at 103,
I mean,
105. I mean, the
that's ins
Dodgers.
right. That's the most insane juggernaut on paper that baseball's probably ever seen. Go Assuming, you know,
There's a
you
10-game difference on the over-under,
yeah, I
93 for
mean,
the Braves and 103 for the Dodgers.
yeah. So, you know, put the Dodgers aside from everyone at the moment and their payroll and everything, you know, defending champs,
Oh,
all
Red
that.
Sox, 86 and
But
a half. I mean, people that they're bullish on the Red Sox, by the way.
I want to make this clear. Everything we're talking about, because we're obviously hyper focused on the Orioles because they're Baltimore's team, and that's what we talk about, and that's what we cover here. But they're having the same conversations in every other city in the American League right now. I mean, they are the Yankees. My goodness, Gerrit Cole and Heels out, and
We're
they,
Guardians at 81 and a half.
you know, the Guardians have had some attrition. I mean, you know, the Twins. I mean, look at what happened to them last September.
I
You
want the
know.
Tigers to fall apart. Deal for Scooble. That's what I want.
Hey, that'd be great.
That's what I
That'd
want.
be great. I mean, Scooble is
Looking at all this.
incredible, but you know,
Padres can have a little sell-off too, because I mean,
the AL
they
West.
begin the year 19 games behind the Dodgers as far as Vegas is concerned. That's crazy.
Crazy,
That's
crazy.
crazy.
But
Crazy.
you know, go to everyone in the American League, and specifically everyone in the American League East, is they're having these issues. Hey, I mentioned to you late last week. Don't sleep on the Rays. Shane McClanahan's coming back. Well, he just left with an injury over the weekend. Now, the early indications are that it sounds like it's not another like that his elbow broke again, but this is it. And this is why I said maybe the Orioles are, maybe there's something to this idea of trying to build a rotation that survives, right? Trying to survive attrition. I don't know. But at the same time, even acknowledging that, you still need to have enough ability to be able to thrive and win enough games and navigate the season, and not be, you don't want to be in a position where you're 8 games out and, you know, you're really climbing uphill. So, you know, they've got to hit. That's the obvious. And the guys that are healthy and guys that are mainstays in their bullpen and in the rotation, known commodities. I mean, Dean Kramer is a great example of someone they need to be a little steadier than he's been in the past, which, you know, at his best, he's been, you know, a 3/4. You
We haven't
know, if
said his name in
we haven't,
weeks.
and I saw him, you know, he pitched against Atlanta on Sunday, and he ran into a little bit of trouble in the fifth inning, but he struck out 10 guys in 5 1/3 innings. So, you know, he had a really nice outing after a not so great spring for him statistically. Again, who knows? I mean, it's spring training stats. But it's guys like him, guys like Yennier Cano in the bullpen and CNL Perez, guys who've been around, guys that they're known commodities. They've got to do what they can do. They at least be the best version of themselves. And then, you know, like I said, they got to hit the ball. They do that, they'll win a lot of games. They'll be right there in contention for the division. And then it gets back to what you mentioned several minutes ago. Then, yeah, we get to June, we get to July, and then the arms race, right? Who gets the ace? Who gets, if it's not an ace, who gets the number two starter or even a number three starter? You know, where's Grayson Rodriguez at that point in time? You know, where's Batista physically and performance-wise at that point in time?
I remember
So.
back at Memorial Stadium, they go to the bullpen and they would cue the Beatles song, "Help, I need
Yeah.
somebody, help." Not just anybody. They're gonna need help. They are.
Yeah, that's fair. But you know what? I'd say that about just about any team in the American League right now. So
All right, well,
buckle
get your
up.
passport out. You're not gonna get me thrown out of Canada, are you?
I was going to ask you the same thing. Please don't. You know, keep in mind I'm a deacon, so you know
Keep in
I
mind,
can't
I'm
be associated
Venezuelan.
with
You sure you want to be
shenanigans.
seen with me at the border? I don't know. Luke Jones can be found at Baltimore Luke. I'm actually American, but I feel my Venezuelan more and more as baseball season begins here. By the way, Luis Aparicio, the oldest living Hall of Famer, as we begin, and he will turn 91 in May. So I'm into it. I just found a really cool old Aparicio card. I'm ready for baseball season. I got major compliments on my Tony Gwynn gear at Pizza John's on Friday. Dave Shinen stopped by. Lovely visit from Kelly Truax from GBMC, talking about some very, very important issues with young children and sextortion and online nonsense going on in chat rooms. Make sure you're checking that out and support them. Also, Todd Shuler, as well as former Attorney General of the state of Maryland, Brian Frosch, two of my favorite people, two attorneys to come on to talk about checks and balances in the United States of America. And, they both said that they would come to the Peace Bridge in Buffalo or Niagara Falls and get me into the country. They would drag me across the water, if that's what it takes to get me back into New York. I've never wanted to get to New York so badly. Luke and I are headed into Toronto on Wednesday. We'll be there Thursday. We'll be there Friday. Coming back Friday, Saturday, getting ready for Monday. March Madness is going on. If the Ravens do anything, we'll be the first to tell you out on the WNST Baltimore Positive Text Service, brought to you by our friends at Cole Roofing. I am Nestor. Happy opening day. It is baseball season here. Pray for the pitching and wait for that home run riches thing to happen. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Democracy and Baltimore Positive.